Hello and welcome to Zack Attack. We're never going to be better than this. This is episode 24, bonus episode.
Bonus episode.
Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure from 2011. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And with us today, this is a modern miracle of the internet era.
I have no idea how this happened.
Last week on the show, we talked about the Derby Stallion, and we went on Letterboxd to play our Letterboxd game, and we found that there was another person who seemed to love Zeph as much as we love Zeph. We reached out to him. He responded almost immediately. We are joined today by Liam Underwood, the only other human being that we know who has seen the Derby Stallion all the way from the UK. Hello, Liam.
Hey, how's it going?
Really well. So we were so excited.
I'm stoked.
You've listened to the last episode already, so you know exactly what we said about you. I didn't cut anything out.
Yep.
You know that we're fascinated by the fact that you watched this movie sort of your own volition. Like we watched a Derby Stallion because we were going through all of his movies. You didn't have a podcast about Zeph. I mean, you have your own podcast, Nerd on Nerd, which you sort of convinced your co-host to watch the High School Musical movies with you.
Yeah.
But, like, you watch the Derby Stallion by your own choice.
Yeah, yeah, I have no excuses, unlike you guys. You know, I now have the Derby Stallion DVD in my collection.
Yes.
Just because...
How did you even find it? Where did you get it, is what I want to know.
Amazon.
Okay, you found it on Amazon. So you made a conscious effort to purchase this. You weren't, like, in a store and you saw it. You, like, went out of your way to buy this.
Yeah.
You waited for it.
I searched IMDb for all of Zac Efron's movies.
Okay.
There's a couple at the beginning that I just cannot find anywhere.
Same.
Yeah.
Same.
Yeah, I think we have one more movie that we're going to do. It's Miracle Run, which I think we can find, but there's stuff before that and a lot of his TV stuff that we might do like a clip show, because there's a lot of things like just don't exist anywhere. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, like Miracle Run, I've only been able to find on eBay, and it just seems like some sort of dodgy, like someone's printed to the disc themselves. So yeah, I probably won't be able to get hold of that one. But yeah, Derby Stallion was the first one. Like, I haven't gone through his career sort of like reversed chronologically like you guys have.
Yep.
I've just bounced. So there's still a couple that I haven't seen yet. Like New Year's Eve, I'm saving for when it's more seasonal. And I think the only other one at the moment is At Any Price.
Oh, I like
that's
that
movie. A good one. That was a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I try and have like a Zac Efron movie stored up for like a rainy day, like when I'm feeling sad or something, I can stick on a Zac Efron movie that I haven't seen before, and just immediately my worries will leave.
That's amazing. Yeah, there's two movies that we can't find that we're not going to be able to do. We might find clips, but Triple Play and The Big Wide World of Carl Lemke, we can't find.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you found
those. I had no luck
with those. I think they've been like scrubbed from the internet.
Yeah, I mean, they're probably not going to be great, are they? Let's be honest.
Yep, that's what I was saying. I bet they're rightfully scrubbed from the internet.
It's interesting that you said, or you brought up New Year's Eve, because this movie, Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure, came out the same year as New Year's Eve.
Oh,
so
did
we
it?
Have, so you can see this sort of like branching trajectory of these actors' paths that we have. Ashley Tisdale, this is 3 years after High School Musical 3.
Okay, I wanted to know the chronology of this. I wanted to see like where this was placed.
It came out 3 years later, but I think it takes place 1 year later.
Yeah, it
right?
does. Yeah, yeah, she's like, she just took like a year sabbatical or something, and then like, this is what's going on.
This is where she's going. I don't know what she's done in between. I could have looked that up. I mean, she's done stuff since. We've talked about her a lot on the High School Musical episodes. But then we have Zeph, who is one of the stars of this like star-studded movie. So like between High School Musical 3 and this point in time, Ashley Tisdale's still sort of doing her thing, and Zeph like on the rocket ship to superstardom.
Yeah.
In this movie, there's no connection at all to the High School Musical world.
I think there is.
Well, there's, I mean, sort of, but like in terms of external things, because I read in Liam's review, and this is something that really disappointed me, is that Ryan, Sharpay's brother in the world of High School Musical, is not in this movie at all. This was a Disney Channel original movie that went to DVD and Blu-ray first, then went to TV. So the release that we saw, the DVD Blu-ray, he's not in it, but when they put it on TV, he is in it.
What?
Yeah.
What the fuck happened there?
And not only that, but there's a remixed version of the song Fabulous that they sing, which isn't in this at all. And it's not on the DVD, like it's not on like the special features, like the deleted scenes. It's just gone. Like it exists after the fact.
Oh, that's so weird, man. I wanted Ryan in this movie. That was like one of the biggest things that I was like hoping for, and we didn't even get Ryan in it. It was, yeah, that's.
And it's not like his career is massively taken off either.
Right.
Yeah, he could have been in this. This would have been like a really cool segue, sequel kind of spin-off. And no, they just chose not to have him. But they put him in the TV version, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's like a scene at the end, right? Oh. I don't know.
Yeah, so it's on YouTube, and it sort of it plays over the credits, where he just kind of comes into an apartment, and they just catch up a little bit. He says what a good job she's doing, and he's apparently on tour across the country with some sort of musical show.
Oh, cool. Yeah, good for him.
Because there's nothing in the IMDb trivia that, like, Zac Efron was ever going to come back for this, which obviously... Vanessa Hudgens said that she wanted to come back due to scheduling conflicts or something, couldn't make it work, but I can see her... I mean, she's also a bigger star, but she's nowhere near Zeph level, and I can see her, you know, swinging by for a scene, like, you know, at the end of the movie. Like, so this movie is about Sharpay still living in Albuquerque in the ABQ.
Yeah.
We have so many issues with her dad's behavior at the beginning of this movie, which we will get into.
Okay.
But she goes to New York to prove herself to make it on Broadway, and then eventually at the very, very end of the movie, becomes the star of a show after the existing star sort of has a meltdown and leaves the show. So she makes it. So I could definitely see, in a version of this world where Vanessa Hudgens is able to make it, that she's there for, like, opening night or something. You know what I mean? Just, like, as, like, a show of support. But, you know, she didn't make it, so it's a moot point.
There was a little nod to her in the beginning. Did you catch that? She's, like, singing, like, the very first number, like, as soon as it starts, and she's like, "Bye, Gab," or something like that.
Oh, did you? I didn't hear that. I heard in that opening song, and the opening song is called...
The songs in this were terrible, by the way, and but it did have enough song, like, it had the right amount of songs for me.
Do you think it had the right...
I wanted more songs.
Yeah, no, to me, this isn't a musical, and why are you doing a spin-off of High School Musical and not making it a musical?
Agreed, yeah, but I hate musicals, so I was, like, liking the amount of movie there was.
It's in the world of High School Musical. Like, you should want another musical in this world, right?
Yeah, I did. I mean, I guess it could have used more songs, but I was content with, like, the story actually moving and it being a movie, just by personal preference.
Because it's a real fake-out, because the movie literally opens in a song called Gonna Shine, and it's sung by Ashley Tisdale in Albuquerque, and it's basically about how fabulous her life is.
Yeah.
I didn't hear her say "Bye, Gab," but I did hear a lyric "Bop to the Top." Like, I'm gonna bop to the top.
I think there was a couple
of like,
references.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, there was more than one, for sure. I agree. I think so, too, Liam. Yeah.
We get that, and I'm like, okay, cool. Like, we're on the right foot. Like, you know, because the emotional heart of the High School Musical movies is Troy and Gabriella, but here, like, the Ashley Tisdale songs in the High School Musical movies were sort of the showier songs. You know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of fun.
Yeah, I liked them, dude. I thought they were a lot of fun.
And so they could have set things up here for a lot more of those type of numbers, and they just didn't.
I agree. These, actually, all the songs in it, too, like you just said, they're not flashy. They were kind of depressing, like, minus that opening number one. Like, a lot of the rest of them were just, like, kind of bland. Like, they didn't feel like Sharpay to me. I wanted them to be, like, fabulous and stuff like that, but they weren't.
Yeah, like, there are four songs, I think. There's Gonna Shine, which is the opening one. There's My Boy and Me, which we'll get to, which is her and her dog, Boy. There's The Rest of My Life, and then there's New York's Best Kept Secret, which is the closing number. And then there's a couple of other songs throughout. I mean, specifically My Girl and Me, which is there's a whole drama there, and we'll get into that. But, like, four songs over 90 minutes is not enough for...
a musical.
Right.
This was a movie that had musical numbers, not a musical.
Yeah, which is disappointing.
Exactly the word I was going to say. Like, I don't know what I want this movie to be. All I know is that I wanted to have lots of songs.
Did anybody notice how shitty all of the video transitions were throughout the movie? Like, the editing itself was just so fucking terrible. They used, like, GarageBand. I don't, like, what's the movie editor version of GarageBand, I guess? They used, like, that simple, like, flip the screen and stuff like that. Like, they used the most basic transitions. I also want to know who video edited this.
Well, Liam, what's your history with Disney Channel original movies?
To be honest, it's not a particularly lengthy history.
Okay.
Probably High School Musical is where it kind of starts and ends. Like, I haven't really...
Oh, okay.
That's fine. I don't watch a lot of them either.
I kind of grew up with them, at least the early ones. I've seen a lot of them. And then when we did the Shia podcast, he had two or three that we watched for that too. So I was warning you, Joe, when we were getting into High School Musical, I was like, I'm afraid that these are going to be like Disney Channel original movies, because they are, but, like, you know, in the style of... in the production quality level of whatever.
They're like child Lifetime movies. Yeah, they have like their own aesthetic.
When we got to High School Musical and then High School Musical 2 and 3, well, 3 is a different story because that's an actual movie.
Yeah.
They were way more polished and way better and like more like actual movies than what I was fearing.
Yeah.
This, even though this is years after the fact, is exactly what those are like. Just sort of like a newer, fancier version. Like, it's all terrible editing. It's weird, wacky music. Plot lines that don't really make sense. Everything. Like, it's just, it's how much stuff.
Yeah, they're cheap. They just feel cheap.
Can we cram it 88 minutes? Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly, yeah. I this is what I imagine High School Musicals would have been like, too, when we first started them. But no, they had, like, huge budgets for those. Like, they knew they were going to be okay. As opposed to this, which is just, like, super shitty and you can feel it.
So, the movie, like, the story of this movie, just like the first, it was the first High School Musical where the musical was about a musical, right? Like, it was...
Inception
like
musical?
Sort of, yeah.
Yeah.
Here, it's the same thing. It's like the Broadway play that she's involved with, or that boy is involved with, is about a girl who moves from a small town to the big city to make it on Broadway. And I was just like, oh, you're just taking the same story that we saw 5 years ago yeah. and just repurposing it here.
That's exactly what they want to do, man. They do this all the time. Yeah, the Inception musical thing, and in the musical, like, the last number when she's doing a musical about being in a musical.
Yep.
It was so fucking weird to me. But yeah, that's how High School Musical likes to do it, I guess.
The Broadway play stars Amber Lee Adams is the character name. I don't remember what the actress name is. She looked super, super familiar. I don't know why. And then I looked on IMDb, and, like, I've never seen her anything else. And, like, she's most known for this movie. So clearly she's not a huge star, but did she look familiar to either of you two, or no?
Yeah.
She looked familiar to me, and also, like, the blonde girl looked familiar. I thought she was the chick from Better Call Saul when I first saw her, like, sitting in the theater.
Which blonde girl?
Her, like, understudy that's, like, in that first, like, when they're both doing...
Oh, the one she fires?
No, not her assistant, like, the understudy chick that was, like, in the first scene with the dogs when they're, like, testing out the dogs and she's with, like, the blonde chick next to her. I thought that woman was the same woman from Better Call Saul for, like, the first second. I had to, like, IMDb it and see if it was. It's not.
Gotcha.
But they look the same to you?
She looked familiar, but I wonder if she just sort of has a kind of very generic face.
Yeah.
Or, it might be, yeah.
Or maybe we're in this, like, trap of things that we say with, like, these early cheap Zeff movies where they, like, just hire actresses that kind of look like someone else, and you're like, oh, yeah, it could be this chick. Like, we have, like, bootleg versions of all the actors that we know. We're like, what the fuck is going on?
Because that actress is, like, she's really pretty, but she's not, like, memorably pretty. I swear that I've seen her in things, or, like, she's, you know, like, a regular on a TV series, but, like, she's not.
No.
I mean, she's been in a lot of things, but nothing I've seen and nothing that's noteworthy, so I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like, I wouldn't turn her down if she was offering. Equally, you know, if she's offering and then you have, like, an actual movie star offering, she doesn't quite kind of...
Right.
Compete to that level.
Just like, yeah, like you said, like we said last week with Derby Stallion, there's the bootleg Sharpay in that.
Yeah. Oh, geez, yeah.
She's not unattractive, but, you know, compared to actual movie stars, it's like, oh, okay.
Definitely. I agree.
Yeah.
One thing that we get in this world is Team Sharpay. It's like all of her, I guess, friends in Albuquerque, friends with a question mark, that are basically all of her assistants who, like, book her travel and, like, book her lodging in New York.
Yeah.
And sort of accommodate. I'm like, what? It's weird.
It's fake Mean Girls, dude. It's like a fake Mean Girls type situation.
Yeah. You get, like, a glimpse of that friendship group in High School Musical 2.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, there's definitely scenes with her and, like, a little posse when they're at the clubhouse.
Okay, that would make sense, because that movie is more about her than the other ones. Yeah.
No, I totally missed it. I mean, we were pretty drunk when we watched it.
So. But what's frustrating to me on a whole about this movie is how Sharpay basically forgets every lesson that she learned from the three High School
yes,
movies.
Yes, that was something that I wanted to mention. It was just so infuriating how they basically just kind of put her back at square one.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude, she, like, had no character growth at all throughout the whole fucking thing. She just starts way at the beginning again, just, like, totally a scumbag again.
Yeah.
I think by the end of this movie, she's kind of back where she was, sort of semi-woke Sharpay, but, like, she's mean and rude and entitled and spoiled, and I guess that's sort of what she has to be.
Yeah.
But, like, you can make her kind of humbled and still want to be a Broadway star and sort of play into those kind of, you know, over-the-top caricatures. Like, here, just, like, these strangers, like, the guy who's suddenly making a movie about her life, she's treating him like the help, and it's just like, but you know better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think as well, in, like, the High School Musical films, while she is this, like, horrible person, she's balanced quite nicely with Ryan, who kind of does provide, like, it brings her down a little bit every now and again and does sort of kind of provide this counterbalance to her. But because you don't have that here, she's just even worse.
Agreed. I think you nailed it. That's what I was missing, is that, like, without Ryan there to be, like, juxtaposed, like, to her shittiness and, like, him being, like, a little bit of morality, it makes her just seem like a total shithead the whole movie.
Yeah.
Did either of you think that this love interest that she... It's not a love interest till the very end, because it's sort of like the first High School Musical movie, where you're like, when are they going to kiss? And then finally, at the very, very end, they kiss. But did either of you think that he... The character name, I think, is Peyton.
Yeah.
Was basically like... Hot Ryan, sort of.
He looks so much like Ryan. He looks so much like Ryan. That's what we kept saying the whole fucking movie. Rachel and I are like, oh god, he looks so much like Ryan.
Yeah.
And the funny thing is that we called them the incest twins the whole fucking High School Musical thing, and they give her a guy that looks just like her brother.
She clearly has a type.
Well, it's to the point where, like, on the DVD, there's a picture of her with Peyton on the back. I thought it was Ryan, so I was really excited to see this scene where it's just them, like, sat down talking. So I was like, oh cool, Ryan's gonna make an appearance. No, just this guy that looks like him.
Yeah, what the fuck?
God. When he first showed up, I was like, it's not Ryan. Oh, okay. Because it almost
wasn't Ryan supposed to be in New York anyways? Isn't he, like, part, like, of the New York world? Like, in High School Musical 3,
didn't he get a scholarship?
To Juilliard or something? Like, I thought he's supposed to be in New York anyways.
Yeah, I thought that was the case. But so the kind of explanation they give in the little scene at the credits is that he's just touring the country at the time with some sort of show. So that's why he's not necessarily in New York then. But what I couldn't remember, I don't know if you guys could help with this, is what she says she's going to do at the end of High School Musical 3.
She wanted to go to fashion school, I thought.
Because I think she's going to New York too. Like, she doesn't get the scholarship. I thought that she was going with him, but maybe not.
Yeah, maybe not. Now that I'm thinking about it, I can't remember either. You guys are right. When I watched it, I thought she was like, oh, I'm going to fashion school. But, like, apparently she just was, like, dicking around for a year with her dad. Like,
exactly.
Like, not doing anything.
I definitely don't remember a scene where she was like, yeah, I'm going to do fuck all for a year.
Hey, quick interruption here from Editor Joey, correcting Podcast Joey. I was wrong before. I just realized as editing this that Sharpay is going to stick around Albuquerque and help the drama teacher out with future musicals, so I have no idea why the setup to this movie makes no mention of that or what happened. Maybe she failed out of that. I have no idea. But she was not going to go to New York, so all right, there we go. Back to the show. Because this movie starts out, and the dad is like, hey, I've given you the last year to sort of find yourself or whatever, but I need you to start working. And, like, every time she tries to say the word work, she kind of gags on it, because that's a funny recurring joke.
Yeah.
The deal that they make... So here's my biggest problem with the movie. She's like, okay, I'm going to go to... Because she has her little Albuquerque play or whatever, and gets recognized. The whole twist of this is that she doesn't get recognized, the dog gets recognized. Boy is, like, destined for superstardom. But she thinks it's about her. So anyway, she thinks that she gets recognized in this play, this musical, whatever. Says, okay, I'm going to go to New York and try to make it on Broadway. Which I think, especially for, like, a rich girl whose dad can afford it, is, like, a very viable try that for a while. She has her team Sharpay book her flight, find her a place to stay, get all the stuff set up. She puts together these, like, you know, this entire, basically, vision boards to show off to her parents.
I love those.
Actually probably does more work there than she has in the past year, and her parents are just like, no, this is bullshit. Like, no, you're not going to go. It's like, wait, what?
Also, her dad gave her everything she ever wanted in the first three movies, and then, like, now all of a sudden he's like, nah, fuck that shit. You have to prove yourself. Like, she was just dicking around at his country club and, like, doing whatever she wanted the whole second High School Musical. And he was, like, such a pushover. And, like, all of a sudden now he gets a spine? That doesn't happen.
And then the agreement that they have is that she can go to New York, but she has to land a Broadway gig in a month.
I mean, that's pretty reasonable. I'd like that.
No, you think that, like, a month is enough time?
Oh, no, of course not. I was being sarcastic as fuck.
It's like he's like, setting her up to fail.
Yeah, on purpose.
Exactly. If she fails, is she supposed to come back and work for him or just work somewhere?
Him. For him.
Okay.
Yeah, I think at the golf course, actually. Like, she specifically says, like, at the country club.
Okay.
But, I mean, obviously she's going to be, like, fucking liaison affairs bullshit title where she just sits at, like, a desk and, like, dicks around at the fucking country club anyways. This isn't going to be real work. It's your dad that runs
it. Like a Tony Soprano type honorary position at the garbage factory?
Yeah,
that's what
she's going to do.
The garbage dump?
Yeah.
So she's off to New York, and she goes and finds this penthouse. And I don't know, I guess the dad's paying for everything.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Team Sharpay clearly did not do a good job because they find out that this co-op board of the building doesn't allow pets. And so she's like, if dog goes, I go. And then all of a sudden, on the street. And that's when Hot Ryan shows up with the video camera. And the whole movie, I was trying to figure out what his movie was going to be. And I really was hoping we weren't going to get, which we don't get, I was really hoping we weren't going to get, like, a look at this, like, vapid blonde thinking she can make, you know what I mean? Like, I thought he was setting her up to take her down.
Same. I was hoping for that, too.
He's genuinely a good guy and wants to make her, and then, you know, we'll get to the end when he sort of saves the day. He's just good-hearted the entire way. Like, there's nothing interesting about him.
Yeah, he's too good. Like, if any normal person was treated the way she treats him, they'd be like, you're on your own. I am not dealing with this.
Yeah, and he's not even banging her yet. Like, come on, dude, how much work do you have to put in? Like, I get she's kind of hot, but seriously, like, you know, like, after, like, the first, like, couple days, he'd be like, fuck off. Like, I'm not dealing with this shit anymore.
Also, she looks a little weird in this movie. I don't know if either of you
she's older.
Knew why. Well, not that. She's wearing a blonde
yes.
wig the entire movie.
Rachel noticed it. I didn't notice it. She was every time it would come on, she would be like, look at how fucking awful that wig is, and then I would notice it.
I think in some scenes it looks real, like it looks good, and then in other scenes it's just like, oh wow, like that's not even close. Like that just looks, it's like askew.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. I agree. Did you guys notice that in this beginning part that we're talking about, like with the penthouse and stuff, that she leaves her shit outside in the middle of New York City a lot? Like, it's just, like, totally fine to just, like, leave your shit sitting there. Like, this stuff would have gotten stolen while she was there. Like, she didn't even need to wait for anyone to, like,
yeah.
to, like, leave it alone.
And she looks like an easy target as well.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but she goes to the park, and when they do that, like, montage of, like, her figuring out what New York is and, like, eating the hot dog and stuff, she's fucking winning at Three Card Monty when he's, like, mixing
yeah.
the shit around. I'm like,
oh,
what the fuck? How does she win?
We're
going
to get to that montage.
Okay,
let's get to the montage right now because, like, it's we're close enough there. It's a cover of Walking on Sunshine, which is, I thought maybe sung by her, but it's not. It's sung by Ali and AJ.
Okay.
Which is a band that I've heard of. I think it's like a Disney Channel band. The montage is, she's living the big city life, winning at the cup game, staring at a living statue, and eating a hot dog. And then the montage ends with Hot Ryan painting the video camera as like a sort of a wiped like fade out. Like, did you catch that? Like, he's painting her room. You know, she basically gets him to find her an apartment.
Yes.
And then redo the apartment.
Yes.
At the end of the montage, as he's painting her walls, he just swipes down on it, and then I'm like, you're painting your camera.
There's shitty video editing transitions all the time in this, but yeah. This is all just showing you that New York is really, really dope if you have a fuck ton of money. That's what this whole beginning part of this is. It's like, you know what, like, New York is really, really easy for people that have a ton of money. You don't need to actually be talented or anything, but if you have a lot of money, it'll be really,
yeah.
really easy.
Yeah, I mean, that's the lesson I took away from the film.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, you know, New York sort of sucks to live in unless you're rich. If you're rich, it's the best place in the world. But if you're, like, not even poor, if you're just, like, sort of, like, middle class, like,
not even super
rich.
You
need
to be
yeah.
super rich. Not even, like,
yeah.
normal rich. Like, rich anywhere else isn't, like, nearly as rich as you need to be to, like, live easily in New York.
Oh, the other weird thing about their relationship, her and Hot Ryan, is their moms went to school together?
Yeah,
like, that's just, like,
buddies.
Thrown in
yeah.
as, like, an aside, which I know is actually a thing because, like, I have friends who have both been on the Cage Club podcast. When one friend moved from L.A. to New York, their moms were like, oh, you know, my son is moving or whatever, and, like, they actually became friends that way. So, like, I know it's a thing that happens, but it feels like a weird sort of tacked on, like, we need a reason for him to be there, so let's just say, like, their moms went to school together.
Yeah, I agree. It's weird. They, like, needed him to push the beginning of the story. Otherwise, I feel like his character would have just been, like, the girl dog's owner. So, like, they made him a little kid because they needed Hot Ryan before this to, like, push that beginning part of the narrative. Otherwise, they could have just been the same character, and then you could have the dogs and the owners fall in love together. Maybe that was their, like, original idea, and they're like, well, shit, we have to, like, get her there and stuff.
What also really frustrates me about the arrival in New York is that Sharpay thinks that when he says a studio apartment, or a studio, she's gonna be staying at a film studio? And, like, it's these weird sort of lines, like, blurred lines, not in the Robin Thicke sense.
No.
But between, like, bad jokes and, like, making the character stupid.
For her being so conniving, she's always really stupid in these movies, huh?
Yeah, and always consistently stupid. Like, again, just never learning anything.
Which is annoying. Like, I understand, like, that's sort of the way that a lot of sitcoms do, in that, like, the episode sort of has to end where this episode begins. You know what I mean? Like, nobody learns lessons or whatever, or, like, any lessons they've learned from past episodes don't necessarily carry over to the next one. But, like, this is a four-movie franchise, sort of. You know, if you count this in the same thing. Like, we've seen her grow for the first three, and now we just
yeah.
reset to square one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dumb. dumb.
We're about at the part where, like, the two, they have, like, the dog showdown. Like, me and boy and me and girl.
Me and my boy and me and my girl, yep.
And did you catch how many funny puns there was when he was, like, announcing her resume? Did you get all of these?
A lot of this movie I sort of absorbed but didn't necessarily closely listen to.
Well, one of my favorite lines in the movie is when he's doing that. He says she was in some, like, he's, like, talking about, like, these dog renditions of, like, Broadway musicals that, like,
she was in.
And he says she was in The Color Purple.
Yes.
That was so amazing to me. They came up with some good ones. I was like, that would have been my writing contribution to this script.
That sort of brings us to other Zac Efron, Zac Tack jokes that we've talked about where it's, like, back and forth, like him and Seth Rogen, where they just sort of go back and forth for a while. It's just, like, into the script said by one person. You know what I mean? Just, like,
yeah,
off the top of your head, like, let's just say a bunch of things.
Him
also,
and Franco.
Also, kind of like what we do with fire-ass titles at the end, so.
Yes. Him and Franco, when they, yep. When they do, like, Bros and Hoes and Bros and Idahoes and whatever.
So she gets the audition place and finds out that they want to audition boy, and she's like, well, I'm never the best friend. And I'm like, right, you're right. Like, you're the villain. Yeah. Like, that's, you're not the best friend. You are the bad guy. So,
you're not,
like,
even your brother's best friend. But yeah.
Right. But they audition her and boy, and, like, they put on a legitimately amazing audition.
Yeah, it was great.
Me and my boy, great song. Boy is killing it on stage. We're like half an hour in, we finally get a second song. Then this spoiled little rich kid comes out with his dog, and they're fine. But, like, the producer and the director and the writer or whatever are, like, going bananas over how good their audition is. So it's like, but Sharpay just, like, killed it. Like,
yeah.
Very, like, objectively better. And they're like, oh my god, like, this dog is a star. I'm talking about girl.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was weird. And the Cocker Spaniel's kind of ugly.
Yeah.
A boy is way cuter, just, like, as a dog.
Do you
like,
think?
I would much rather have that cute dog. Yeah, dude. I think the little terrier is so much cuter than
I wrote down, Cocker God, Spaniel. This dog is so cute, I want a million movies with them. Like, I would just watch, like, if she wasn't being dumb and weird, like, if they were just, like, a buddy cop, like, her and boy, like, solving crimes, I would watch every movie of that.
I want it to be, like, Air Bud and them just to do 14 of them. Just,
yes.
Just with boy. It'll be like, boy, good, boy does a musical. And it'll be like, boy does, you know, a movie. And, like, you know, just goes on, like, a boy's acting career, and they just do 40 of these movies.
And this is when the movie takes a hard left turn and becomes a rom-com starring dogs.
Yes!
This is where the movie really lost me. Like, real kind of eye-rolling, like, just the way that it was shot and edited at this point specifically, the dogs looking at each other longingly. And it was at this point I was just like, no. I had a bit of hope that maybe the movie could redeem itself, maybe like a good cameo or something. It was at this point that I just gave up any hope.
It does lead, though, this romance to my favorite scene in the movie, which is a dog date for two around New York City set to a cover of Justin Bieber's Baby.
Yeah, was it really a cover of it? Because it was,
yeah,
it just
no, it's a
like
cover.
A, God, that's so weird.
Do you know who sang it?
No, tell me.
Liam, do you know who sang that song, that
no,
cover,
I
that
don't,
version?
No.
Ryan.
No,
really?
Lucas, he's credited on IMDb as, you know, written by Justin Bieber, The Dream, Ludacris, Christina Milian, Christopher Stewart, performed by Lucas Grabeel, who is Ryan.
Oh, that's
which
crazy.
Makes that even better.
It makes it better, but why didn't they have, like, him fucking in the movie?
I don't know. And that also makes me wonder why Ashley Tisdale didn't sing Walking on Sunshine. You have one person from the world. I mean, I guess she can't sing. I don't know. I don't. It's all weird.
Yeah, I don't think that she's a real singer, like, at all, but they just had her as a character. Then we get to my favorite scene right before this, though, is when, for some reason, the little asshole boy has raw chicken.
And not only does he have raw chicken, but he has access to Amber Lee Adams' dressing room.
Yeah. He has both of these things and just rubs raw chicken all over. Like, this poor chick is going to get salmonella. You're going to kill off the main star of your fucking musical to make your dog win? What the fuck was this? This was a terrible idea.
I feel like the whole, everything about Amber Lee Adams is misguided because she's like, I don't know, like, is she like a TV or a movie star, right? That, like, she came to Broadway, and because she's on Broadway now, like, people are going to go see this because, like, she has, like, this legion of adoring fans. Like, it's kind of like a little bit of meta, like, if Zac Efron somehow, or, you know what I mean, like, went to Broadway.
Yeah.
Everybody would go see, even if the play is terrible, even if it's about a girl and her dog. You know what I mean? Like, just because she's a star. She's reading the script, and as she's reading it, the writer and the director are, like, laughing out loud at all the jokes, which is super weird because, like, you wrote it. Like, why are you laughing at your own jokes? But
yeah.
She doesn't get any of them. Sharpay is dumb and sort of small-town girl in the big city, whatever, but Amberlee Adams is dumb, too. Like, why are you making all these women dumb?
It was a shitty choice. This is not the world that liberals want.
I mean, I was just trying to think of any, like, remotely intelligent women in this film.
Not in this
no.
one.
No.
No.
The only one we have is Gabriella. She's, like, the only smart one in the whole High School Musical world.
And also, Liam's podcasting partner's love of his life, Kelsey, is not too dumb either. She's pretty good.
Yeah. She's not. She's really smart.
I mean, to be fair, there's not really many smart guys in this movie either. It's pretty much just Hot Ryan.
That's a fair point.
Yeah, and he's not even smart. He's just nice.
Yeah.
Like, right. Like, that's the thing that, like, I hate when movies sort of make women caricatures or, you know, whatever, like, crazy in this movie or dumb or whatever. But, like, at the same time, you look at the movie and, like, oh, well, like, nobody is characterized well.
Yeah,
like,
the writers are dumb. Everybody's
dumb. The only positive ones, I mean, boy, really, right? Like, girl's not even given, like, screen time. Like, it's pretty much just boy is the best part of the movie.
Yeah, I would agree. So we get to one of my favorite parts. She calls her Sharpie because we spent the past 3 High School Musical podcasts calling her Sharpie. She actually calls her Sharpie, and it's amazing to me when she walks in and says that.
There's that, which I think is just like I'm not gonna take the time to learn your name. But what's also weird about her is that she hates dogs. Like, why would you sign on to do a Broadway play?
No, that made sense. That made sense to me because, like, they picked the actress, they picked the screenplay, but, like, they didn't connect the dots that she hates dogs, and she was probably just like, "Yeah, I'll fucking do it, whatever, pay me." That didn't bother me too much.
God,
that was the least of my grievances with this movie. Let's put it that way.
And so, by at this point in the movie, everything we've talked about takes place over 2 weeks, I think.
Yeah.
Sharpay's dad video chats her, like FaceTimes her, and they have to, like, scramble to find a backdrop with, like, buildings in the background so it looks like she's in a penthouse apartment or whatever. It has one of my favorite jokes in that I was like, I can't believe this is in the movie. The dad says, "Are you the toast of Broadway?" And Sharpay says, "Daddy, you know how I feel about carb references, like carbohydrates." And I was like,
I totally missed that one.
Oh my God. I'm like, is this what this movie is becoming?
That just reminded me of the mom one in the beginning when she said, like, "You were in perfect scale and you know my aversion to scales," or something like that. And I was like, God, this is such a terrible, like, vision for young women. Like, that's who this movie was for, and they're all dumb, they're all, like, super weight conscious, they all believe that they can, like, do asinine things, like, their dreams are just, like, completely fantastical, and then they come true anyways.
I mean, I guess, like, one of the biggest issues for me is, who's watching the High School Musical trilogy and going, "Oh yeah, Sharpay, the villain, she's my favourite character. I can't wait to see a movie that's just about her. Let's get rid of Troy and Gabriella and everyone else." You know, the ones that actually bring some decency to it. I just want Sharpay.
Yeah. Right. As a counterpoint, so there's 2 things. So first off, I'm sure that they went to Zac Efron and were like, "Hey, do you want a Troy movie?" He's like, "Fuck that." Like, no, absolutely not. Then they went to Vanessa Hudgens and they were like, "Hey, do you want..." And she's like, she probably said no in a nicer way. And then they're like, "Sharpay, I guess? Like, all right." And she's like, okay.
In the High School Musical trilogy, Gabriella's solos are always my least favorite songs. So a whole movie of her singing would not be good.
And she sounds terrible. Yeah, I agree. 1000%.
Well, I also don't know. I mean, obviously, we'd all love more Zac Efron movies. But, like, would a Troy movie be good?
No.
Without, like, any of the other characters?
No, because what did he set out to do at the end of High School Musical 3? He's, like, studying acting and basketball or something.
Yeah, yeah. At some San Francisco school or something. Something up by Gabriella, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
As a counterpoint, Sharpay, by the end of the third movie, is sort of, like, a more fully rounded character with, like, actual interests and thoughts and opinions on things. So, like, I can see interest there. I don't know.
But they failed on it.
Yeah.
I mean,
100%.
See, the more I think about it now, I'm just thinking, no, a Troy movie would be cool. Because you'd have him kind of at college. Let's just ignore the fact that it would have to be, like, a Disney movie. But him kind of going through college, he'd probably join, like, a frat or something.
It's Neighbors.
It's a prequel to Neighbors.
It's Neighbors. That's exactly what it is.
It would set up Neighbors. And, you know, sure, we maybe kind of get Gabriella back. So they're trying to do some sort of long-distance thing. He keeps missing her. Maybe she has a little cameo at the end. I would much rather see that movie.
Yeah, that would be perfect. Absolutely. And we could just drive it right into Neighbors. Yeah, that would be great. And then, like, he gets scorned, and then that's how he becomes Teddy and just, like, takes off from there.
Perfect.
And, oh, he even changes his name from Troy to Teddy. This would be perfect.
He keeps the first letter because he's a dumb guy.
So. Yeah.
Well, he's got the necklace with the T on, so he has to have the T.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Sharpay in the movie becomes Amberlee Adams' assistant because she fires the assistant. And yeah. She thinks that she's going to become like her friend because this is a woman that she idolizes, that she follows on Twitter. Early days of Twitter, but they're still, you know, all about following people on Twitter and getting push notifications on their phone, so
yeah.
I guess good on you, Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure.
I mean, those references to Twitter and stuff weren't at all awkward and just really weird.
Oh, she did tweet. Oh, okay, I got it. And she's like, goes on like these like cleaning montages, and
which were totally useless. But
we
yeah.
find out later that it was just like so she could get out of Amberlee Adams' hair. But then there's another classic mix-up where she goes to complain about Amberlee Adams' microphone placement because like her scalp is sensitive or whatever, and the sound guy is just like, "Oh, you're hot," and then doesn't elaborate on that.
Oh, he just stops there.
She has like this righteous indignation, and he's like, "No, your microphone's on." She's like, "Oh, you could have just said that." Well, yeah, he could have just said that.
He didn't say Mike's hot. He said you're hot.
Right,
which is what he should have said.
Which is like the, I think maybe you know the proper vernacular, but also like we've never seen this guy before. We'll never see him again.
Yeah, it was kind of creepy that you had this old man just looking at her, being like, "You're hot." Like, yep. It was really fucking weird. I was, like, really stunned at the beginning. And then when I realized what happened... Oh, but as soon as I realized what happened, I was like, this is definitely just a vehicle for the movie for them to do this to the other chick later. Like, they had to show you this to say, like, oh, yep. We can turn the microphone on, and then...
I was really proud of the movie for making a callback there. You're absolutely right.
Like, but you knew it was gonna... As soon as I saw it the first time, I was like, oh, this is it. Like, I already had the end of the movie in my head. Like, she's gonna say some dumb shit, like, and they're gonna be on the mic, because, like, now Sharpay knows that what the fuck the microphone does.
Oh, so we didn't talk about the weirdest thing, the craziest thing, at least in terms of, like, financials. They decide to keep both dogs sort of on retainer and audition both of them through the entire audition process, or the entire like rehearsal process.
Which should never happen.
Yeah.
Which would never happen. They would just decide one. But like that's how like there's like this whole rivalry between the two. And at one point they, you know, I don't remember who says it, but it's like they're like, Countess girl, the girl dog, has talent, but boy has personality. And all I could think was at the end of Pulp Fiction when they're in the diner and they're talking about like eating pigs. And they say, you know, personality goes a long way.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, then in that case, like, boy wins.
Yeah. I mean, we were always rooting for boy the yeah. whole time anyways, but yeah.
But the dogs go on their date, and they sort of run away, and there's, you know, panic amongst everyone, and then finally they just come back to the apartment somehow? Like, I don't know, and that's when Hot Ryan's
well, they don't
like,
even
oh,
show you're... them coming back to the apartment. He just, like, no. shows up with the dogs.
Yeah.
Maybe he, like, ran them away. I think that he was just plotting. Hot Ryan was just, this was his evil villain moment. He took the dogs away.
Well, because then they have, like, a blow-up. You know, I don't remember, like, I think she's, like, pissed at him. Like, I think she's just pissed in general. And kind of takes it out on him, and he's like, what happened to that hot pink whirlwind of ambition I saw the first day you got here? Like, you've changed, Sharpay. She hasn't, really.
she's still a shithead.
But like, even when he first sees her, she's pretty, like, down on her luck already. Because she's just been kind of kicked out of this penthouse apartment that she really wanted. Then he rocks up. I didn't get this impression from his kind of first time meeting her that she was this whirlwind of hot pink ambition.
No, she seemed like a pretty down-on-her-outs dumbass yeah. that just moved to New York and got rocked.
She seemed like yeah. someone had just shit in her cereal, and now here he is.
Yeah, he saved her, dude. This whole fucking movie, he was carrying it for the whole team. And he's going to NYU film school. Like, this yeah. kid, like, has, like, real work to do, but he's devoted all of his time to, like, making sure this chick isn't out on the streets.
And also, we see in the beginning of the movie that there's those two other sort of TV hot, but not really hot girls that walk by, and, like, they're clearly into him, too.
Yeah.
And they're, like, you know, they're all going off to their audition or whatever, but, like, this guy can get it from anyone, and, like, he spends the entire movie sort of catering to this girl who does not care that he's around.
Yeah, like painting her apartment and like making sure she's okay. Yeah, it's weird.
Maybe he just has like issues, you know?
He 100% has issues.
That's what gets him going, to just be completely treated like shit.
Yeah.
If there was maybe. A kind of sequel to this, it would be him in a diaper with Sharpay whipping him.
I do want to see the spin-off fetish porn of Sharpay and Hot Ryan. Now that you said that,
with regular Ryan cuck
directing
in the background.
It, he's choreographing.
No, he's choreographing. He's on screen. he's watching on longingly, lustfully.
Well, he's
wishing,
so gay.
Hoping.
He's trying to straight himself out by watching. Someone.
Well, no, because he's longing for Hot Ryan, like the hot version.
Oh,
of himself.
Okay, fair.
that, you know, it's like the incest twins, but, you know, he wishes he was in Sharpay's place.
Yeah, the only way he can see Hot Ryan naked is to then watch Hot Ryan have sex with his sister.
This took a really weird turn, and I love it.
Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2, XXX.
Yeah.
And then, like, they almost write the dog out of the Broadway play, and it's gonna, like, it's nothing at all.
Oh, God, I need to write down what I just came up with a good title for this movie now that we talked about
okay.
that. I need to write it down.
But, like, oh, God, so, like, they have this fight. I think he says to her, or no, she's, I don't know, she says to him, or he says to her, perfect is so hard, and it doesn't prepare you for disappointment. Like, they're trying to jam life lessons in here. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. But then, like, we get, like, classic Sharpay stuff. Like, she says, like you said, the Sharpay you know isn't the Sharpay that has become the Sharpay that is this Sharpay.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, all right, okay.
Yeah, we're getting back on track. We start, like, moving. She's now, that she, like, made up with the other guy, like, the dog owner. She's, like, getting back to where she was, like, emotionally. So she's, like, you know, we're working it back into the story. We're getting there.
You know, one thing I have to give this movie credit for, it's not good, but it flies by.
And, oh, really? No, dude, the first 30 minutes was miserable for me. I paused after, like, 30 minutes to, like, pee or something, and I, like, looked, and I was like, holy shit, I'm only 30 minutes into this movie. Like, nothing has happened.
I remember looking, like, I just checked the time. I was an hour in. I was like, oh,
damn.
All right.
Yeah, you were more invested than I was.
Because I just like Sharpay.
Yeah,
as
that's
a
true.
Character, kind of. I mean, I don't need a whole movie about her, but, like, if we're in that world, like, I'm gonna double down and get invested.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, I think I just struggled. As soon as I realized, within, say, the first 15 minutes, when we'd only had one song, and I was like, oh, this isn't a musical, that was the point where I was like, this is gonna drag.
Yeah.
It did not fly
It by. Flies, at least in comparison to the Derby Stallion.
True.
Okay, yeah, I'll give you that.
Derby Stallion's pretty slow. We've definitely seen slower Zeph movies, that's for sure.
Although both movies do this thing where, like, comparatively nothing happens for the first 90%, and then the last 10%, everything happens.
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Yeah.
Sure.
They're similar in structure in that way. Maybe my favorite thing is that she texts the spoiled little brat kid, Countess's owner, and he says, what does CQMTWILGT mean? And she says, come quick, major trouble. Wow, I look great today. Duh.
Yeah. How did he not get that?
And he was like, oh, I should have gotten that. The Google autocomplete game, which we'll play later, but if you start typing come quick, major trouble, the whole thing comes out.
Oh, really?
This movie is not super popular, but it's popular enough that, like, everything I tried to find on Google was immediately available.
Damn, okay. Well, somebody likes it then. That's good.
I don't know why, though.
I don't know why either.
Yeah, same. I don't get it. I mean, you know, you're just capitalizing on, like, the little girls that, like, had gotten into it, and it's just, like, another one. So this is, like, Land Before Time. There's, like, 40 Land Before Times. Why? I don't know. Kids just fucking watch dumb shit.
If I had a kid, and I never want children, but if I was to be unfortunate enough to be in that position where I'm now responsible for another life, and I'd watched High School Musical 1, 2, and 3 with them, if I then saw that there was a movie all about the villain from those movies, I probably wouldn't suggest that we watch that.
Yeah, but kids are naggy, dude. They would just, like, nag it out of you. They would be like, come on, I want to watch this, I want to watch this. You're like, shut the fuck up, cool, I'm going to leave and get drunk and watch this movie by yourself.
There is this one guy who follows me on Letterboxd who I checked out his profile a couple times, and he basically only reviews kids' movies, but, like...
That's creepy.
He's a dad forced to watch them from, like, multiple times
from
his kids.
Okay.
And so he's so... angry about everything.
That's awesome.
His review about this was just like, it's super long, and like, he's just so mad, like, everything about this movie, it's actually pretty good.
That makes me really happy. Yeah, I would like to read some of those yeah. are pretty funny.
Like, I was looking, like, at his profile yesterday because he liked my review of this. He had, like, one of his most recent reviews was that movie Sing that came out last year from Illumination Studios. And, like, I feel so bad for him because, like, it's rewatched on this date. This movie still is terrible. Like, honestly, like, it doesn't get better on rewatches. So, like, oh, God. Like, I think that's funny that, like, everybody with young kids watches the same movies over and over again, and you hope that they find movies that, like, you can actually tolerate. But I just like this world where this guy is, like, logging every time he watches a movie on Letterboxd, and it's all just, like, terrible G and PG rated movies like Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure and
over
Sing
and,
all those.
Over and over again.
Over and
well,
over.
I remember when I was a kid, like, one summer holiday, I think for at least a week, but I feel like probably longer, I watched The Pagemaster every single day.
I love The Pagemaster, dude. I love it. That's a great movie.
I mean, I haven't seen it since I was a kid.
Watch it. It's a lot of fun still.
But I remember it being good.
Oh, but the thing is, it's like, doesn't... The Pagemaster was, like, so fantastically long for me, and I made Rachel watch it because she had never seen it before, and the movie's so fast. Like, shit happens really, really quick in that movie. But, like, I remember as a kid, I was like, oh, yeah, like, this part of the adventure lasts for, like, you know, 30 minutes. And it's like, no, that's a 3-second clip that just, like, my brain extended.
As a plug, a shout out to one of our other podcasts, Liam, if you're interested, there's another podcast on our network called Wistful Thinking, where they have guests on, and the podcast is about something they loved from their childhood but really haven't revisited since.
Oh shit, okay. I want to be on that.
I went on that and I did Casper, because I watched Casper time. If you want to see The Pagemaster, I can get you in touch with them, and like, I'm sure that, you know, this kid's movie that you loved a lot, if you want to see it again, I think it'd be a
save
cool
it for that
to, like,
perfect time.
Like, we have a podcast that is exactly what you want to do.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah. And I'm not involved at all, which is, you know, why I'm able to say it's good.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, the issue is, like, we very recently did the Goosebumps TV series.
Okay.
Oh, I love the Goosebumps TV series, too.
No, that's the thing. I loved it as a kid. It does not hold up watching it now.
Really?
Oh, it's
I like that they
so
use,
bad.
I remember last time I watched it, they use all these wacky, like, insults. I vividly remember we were rewatching it, and some chick calls another kid a zeeb. And she was like, you're such a zeeb. And I was like, I don't even know what the fuck that means or where that came from, but I love it.
We watched, I think, 6 episodes in total, and it was just painful. One of them was mildly okay. All of the others just sucked.
Well, I can tell you that Casper holds up. I still like Casper. Okay, even though cool. Casper doesn't have an ending, like, they sort of have a party at the end, and then the party just goes away, and then the movie ends. So there's no real ending to it, but, like, it's a good movie. So.
Damn, now I need to rewatch Casper, too. Fuck. Okay.
And then listen to our podcast episode.
I will. I definitely will.
So anyway, we're at the end of this movie. We're on... Oh, it's either... Is it opening night, or just, like, sort of a dress rehearsal?
Dress rehearsal.
Like, it's where the kids are all there.
Yeah, it's a dress
and
rehearsal.
And Sharpay turns on the microphone, and Amberly Adams freaks out, and she sort of storms off stage. They're like, how are we supposed to put the show on? And this is when Hot Ryan is like, there's somebody who knows everything about everything. Here it goes. And then he like opens up her laptop and plays the movie that he made of her. But what's bananas about the movie is that there's, you know, shots of her singing on stage in the empty auditorium, which is fine, which is cool. But then there's camera angles of that part from, like, 9 or 10 different, like, crazy locations.
He's
like,
a professional, dude.
No, but he's got one camera. And it's, like, it's a single performance. It's, like, from way above and way below and both sides and, like, all over the place. And, like, it's clearly professional production value that they forgot that this is supposed to be playing off one kid's handycam.
Yeah, well, that's just because you have a shitty imagination. That's what this is.
Yep, that's exactly what this is. They cast Sharpay in the show, and she's like, under one condition, that both boy and countess get to be my dogs. I'm like, what the fuck? Like, why?
That doesn't...
fuck that
can't
kid.
Can't they just writing another dog instead of having... Essentially, one dog character played by two different dogs.
Yeah, I guess they're going to alternate shows. Like, I was trying to get into the logic of how that would work. I'm like, you can't just have two different dogs in the same show. So I guess they would, like, alternate shows, but, like, write in a second dog, like, a girl and her two best friends.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do a reverse Inception and then wrote in the dog love story into the play?
Ooh.
A girl.
Yeah.
Her best friend and his best friend.
Yeah. Oh, I like that a lot.
We're getting back to my title that I made up in my head, and I'm really excited to say it when we play the game.
And then finally they kiss at the end, and there's opening night, and they
she
sing
kills it.
I think it's New York's Best Kept Secret, or it's The Rest of My Life. It's one or
the rest
other.
Of my life.
Know,
the Rest of My Life.
The Rest of My Life. And she kills it. Like, it's legitimately, like, a great performance.
Yeah, the choreography was terrible throughout this whole movie, but yeah, Sharpay does good.
This is how I was kind of expecting most of the movie to play, like.
Same. Yeah, definitely.
But it doesn't, which is super disappointing.
Exactly.
The only bit of trivia that I have about this movie that we didn't touch on yet is that Sharpay and Hot Ryan played cousins in the movie Aliens in the Attic in 2009. So between High School Musical 3 and this movie, they played cousins, and then here, you know, they're sort of love interests, which is troubling.
Yeah, as I always imagine, I hope that he banged her.
IRL?
Ultimate dream, yeah. In real life, I hope that he banged Ashley Tisdale. If you do more than one movie together, I assume that you banged.
Liam, do you have any other notes about this before we get into the games? Anything else that you want to get off your chest about Sharpay's fabulous adventure?
I kind of want to talk about, I can't remember who it is that has the clutch purse.
Oh,
Joey does.
You mean the clutch purse? So, yeah,
yes.
I do, yes.
Yeah. I just think we should talk about that, to be honest, because I'm fascinated how that came to be.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because I meant to talk about it, I just completely forgot. So, the reason that we did this movie, aside from the fact that, you know, we need to be all things High School Musical, is that I wanted to buy a movie on Amazon. I have Prime, but there's certain things that, like, it's an add-on item, and so I needed to spend $25 or something to get that shipped. So I just went on...
To not pay for shipping. Yeah, I know. This
right. No. Not to not pay for shipping, but, like, if it's an add-on item, it won't ship until you spend $25.
Oh, that's weird. Okay.
It's super weird. I wanted to spend $25 to get whatever I wanted to get, and so I just went on Blu-ray.com, and I sorted all Blu-rays, cheapest to most expensive, and I just scrolled up from the bottom. I found, like, this is one of the cheapest Blu-rays on all of Amazon.com. It was, like, $5 and change, and it was a collectible clutch purse with the movie.
What does it look like? Can you describe it to me?
I can put a picture. I'll put a picture on the Facebook page. It's, like, a plastic... It's so imagine, like, a thing the size of a Blu-ray, like a Blu-ray case.
Okay.
Sort of, like, that width and that height, but it's, like, you know, about an inch thick, and it's, like, actually... I mean, it's probably not good quality, but it's better quality than you would think it is.
Oh, okay.
And inside... There's like actual space for like cash and credit cards and ID.
Damn.
And it's like an actual thing. I think it says fabulous on the outside. It's all pink. It's sort of like smooth plastic, sort of like, I don't know, it's better than you think it would be. And then inside there's like a little booklet with the Blu-ray and the DVD and the digital copy. But I was like, I kind of need to own this.
How much
the
juice only... do you get out of it?
Oh, I carry it everywhere. I use it all the time.
I want you to go somewhere like to like fucking McDonald's and like they're like, okay, $5, and you pull out your fucking pink clutch purse and you get your card out.
Yeah. When you come down next time, well, actually, you, as this episode comes out, you might be at my apartment right
visiting.
Now.
Visiting, yeah.
I'll carry the clutch purse with us when we go to different breweries, and then when we pay, I'll just bust out the clutch purse and just
I'll die.
Oh, this is...
I'll die.
My wallet fell apart.
Actually,
I just
I'll keep
something.
A straight face, and I'll just play it off, like, totally, yeah.
I think
yeah.
It'd also be funny to, like, surprise, like, don't tell Matt that we're doing it, and
yeah.
Just, like, see how he reacts. It's
yeah.
Gonna be real, real good.
I like it.
So, the only downside to it is that, like, I think because it's probably been on a warehouse shelf for 6 years, it comes encased in, like, this plastic case that, like, you know, it's actually, like, sort of square. Instead of, like, being clutch purse shaped, it's, like, it sort of helps you line things up on the DVD shelf. It was so adhered to the clutch purse that I had to, like, cut it open, like, with, like, the jaws of life and, like, destroyed... that plastic enclosure, so that's gone. But, you know, the Blu-ray is safe, the clutch purse is great. I'm so glad that I have it.
Good. I'm glad that you have it, too, and I'm jealous of it.
Yeah, I'm a little bit
jealous. I will never be that fabulous. I won't.
How could you be without a clutch purse?
Anything else about, aside from my latest fashion accessory, anything else you want to talk about, Liam?
Nothing that kind of relates to Sharpay's fabulous adventure, I don't think. I feel like we've probably spent more time discussing this movie than the people that wrote the movie did.
Oh, almost undoubtedly. And we're gonna spend more time as we play the games and stuff, but like we spent an hour right now talking about this movie, which is shocking to me.
Yeah.
For me, we missed one of my favorite jokes in the movie when they're talking about the dogs, the little fucktard kid. He says Countess is so sensitive that she cries during dog food commercials. I thought that was really well written. I like that joke a lot.
I like it too. I remember that one.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That kid was just so like smarmy looking though. Like, I don't know how they found a kid that just looked that punchable.
Yeah, they did. They did a good job.
What's also super weird, they cast a kid who can sing, and then they gave him half a song?
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't get it. So we're into the mailbag portion of the program. Liam, as you heard last week, we have an email address, zackattack@cageclub.me.
Send Joey
no
dick
matter
pics.
What you send to me,
dick pics.
I will read out loud or describe if it's a picture.
Dick pics.
Our mailbag this week, Joe, is fuller than it's ever been.
What? Really? Who's sending us mail?
We have 4 emails this time from Jessica Collins.
Okay, cool. So, thanks, Jess. I'm glad that you're sending so
first
much
email.
Ram.
Hate mail. She says, Derby Stallion, you guys kept talking about the shitty sound quality, and I was so disappointed when there were no audio clips.
Oh,
which
that's your
I
fault.
I get it, but also, this isn't Cage Club or Keanu Club. We've never put sound clips in except for songs. I'm not going to start sampling. That's more work. This is not what Zach is.
Okay, fair.
Next mail, also from Jess Collins. The title of this email is what I want her to name her memoir. The title of this email, subject line, How I Get My Dick Pics.
Okay.
I legit type in, quote, guys named Dick, unquote.
Okay.
I'm always afraid penises are going to pop up because I listen to my podcast at work, and then in parentheses, dangerous.
Fair. Well, Jess, if you do see a penis at work, report that to HR. Not us, yes. Please. Thank you.
The next one, also from Jess Collins. Subject line, movie trailer. I want you guys to know I watched this along with you from a distance and not at the same time, obviously. It was like a Mystery Science Theater moment for me, and I thank you. And then in all capital letters, you should tell me to do this every time, and then in parentheses, since I'm the only person who is listening and sends in mail.
Fair. Yes, we will remind you to always watch the trailers from this point on.
And then she ends that email with hashtag fucked up teeth.
Yeah.
Did you notice, I mean, I know that you listened to our episode, but did you notice when watching the Derby Stallion, Liam, that Zac Efron's teeth were weird?
Not really, but I don't know if that's because, like, the DVD quality was so piss poor.
Maybe.
It was kind of hard to tell. I noticed that he definitely hadn't quite grown into his features yet.
Yeah, that's a good
definitely.
Point.
Yeah, definitely. The last email that Jess sent, Fire Ass Titles. So this is another game that we're going to play later, but she counted them down. And then in parentheses, before she gave her list, she said lifetime movie titles. So I think this is not... I think she's judging these based on your qualification, Joe, of saying that your suggestions were all going to be...
lifetime movie titles.
Lifetime movie titles.
Okay.
Number 5, Rusty, which was mine.
Yes.
I think... Oh, no, I have one more, but most of this list is dominated by you. Number 5, Rusty. Number 4, The Scrapbook, which was yours. Number 3, The Horse Rider, which was also yours.
Was it? Okay.
Number 2 was mine, because I followed this up with yours, or from yours, was The Steeplechase.
Yeah, that's a good one. That was probably my favorite. Go ahead.
And then number 1, I agree with her. Her favorite Fire Ass title was Houston's Promise.
Yeah, that one is obviously the best. Yeah, that's what it needed to be. It was a lifetime movie. It needed a lifetime movie title. Houston's Promise would have been the best. Yeah.
Agreed. And then she closed the email out by saying, did you say The Unregrettable Mortgage? We did. That was one of Joe's titles. And she said, if so, WTF. So now, Joe, the exciting news I teased to you a couple days ago.
It annoyed the fuck out of me.
We have hate mail from a new fan.
Oh, really? Is it someone we know or just someone random?
No. It's a person I don't know.
Oh, nice!
Well, I was so excited. So we got
we've been begging for emails for 24 episodes, and we finally got one. This is amazing. Wait, I want to give this person a lot of thank you. I didn't even hear it yet, but I appreciate you, and please send more hate mail.
Her name is Jenny McMullen.
Okay.
Subject line, hate mail, and then winky face emoji.
Okay.
I love this email so much. Thank you so much for sending this in, Jenny. You made my day, and I can't wait to hear Joe reacting to this email. She says, hello. I've been a listener and fan of your podcast since last year, and I've listened to all episodes.
Holy fuck.
Amazing. I know.
I really thought that there was two people to listen to this. It was Rachel and Jess. So Jenny, thank you. Go ahead.
And also Melissa. I think Melissa sort of took a break. But yes.
Jenny.
That comes
We're focusing on Jenny right now. Let's give her the stage.
We're focusing on Jenny.
Okay.
But no, I'm saying that because it comes in later in her email.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm also a fan of Zeph, having seen him first in The Lucky One, which is where he bangs Piper from Orange is the New Black. So that's a good way to start.
Did you see that one, Liam, by the way?
Yeah.
Did you see that one?
That's one that I watched quite recently as well, I think in the last couple of weeks, maybe.
Yeah, that's a great one, dude.
That's
like
everything we want in a Zeph movie. Just like him, steamy and sultry and like banging an older woman. Like, yes, 100% yes.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, back to Jenny. Come on, Jenny.
In The Lucky One, and have seen about half of his movies since then, including Baywatch. It was funny, but wasn't expecting much based on the series that inspired it.
Fair.
You will love the nickname bit.
I haven't seen it yet. I'm waiting.
No, but I agree. Like, when we saw this, it's yes, 100%. Okay. That's one thing that I saw with Melissa, and she's like, Joe's going to love this.
Okay.
Jenny goes on. I'm the typical middle-aged, married female fan that will watch a movie just because he's in it.
Perfect. Just like us. We're middle-aged, married female fans. All of us on this podcast today. Yeah, exactly.
I've been wanting to write a fan letter to you guys for a while now, but the Hairspray episode gave me multiple reasons to finally do this.
Okay.
First, just a minor criticism, which is great because it's hate mail. This is what we want to hear.
Yes, tell us what you like or hate.
You played 2 songs from the movie and then talked over them. Tried to hear the song, couldn't, then had to go back and listen again to what you were saying.
Sorry.
Minor, but bugged me enough to mention it.
Sorry. Thanks, Jenny, for the criticism.
The true answer for why we do this is because I'm worried about copyright, and I don't want to put songs in the middle of the episode. So I figure if they're under when we're talking, that's all that you sort of need.
Google Hive Mind won't see it and send you. Yeah.
But if you ever want to know, watch the video that I pulled it from. It's almost always just YouTube, name of the movie, name of the song, and then the first thing that comes up. So if you ever want to watch along at home, just like Jess is going to watch the trailers along at home, if you want to watch these or listen to the songs on their own, do that. I'm just worried about copyright. I don't want these to be taken down. Nobody's listening to them, but I mean, like, nobody with the power to, like, request us, like, cease and desist to take us down, but, like, that's the only reason I sort of bury it under our audio.
Yeah, fair. Okay, sorry, Jenny. Sorry, Jenny.
Second, really want to be fan number 4 and hear you read my email. See, that's where I came back.
So yeah.
Rachel,
we're
Jess,
definitely
Melissa,
reading it.
Number 4, Jenny. We now have a Mount Rushmore of Zack Attack fans.
We're taking off. There's a lot of traction going on here.
I cannot wait for Liam's UK fans of his podcast. Just one of them listens to our show and writes hate mail, I will be so happy.
Yeah.
ZackAttack@cageclub.me.
Yes.
Okay, back to email. Third, my guess for new podcast is Johnny Depp, which I think is actually a really good guess, because I think that would
be
actually pretty good. Not the right answer, unfortunately.
No, sorry.
But she says, whose movies I watched just because he was in them till he was replaced by Zack.
Yeah, Chocolat is a terrible movie. I agree, and I've watched all of Johnny Depp's movies, too. I like the shitty ones that he was, like, in earlier. Yeah, I'm a fan.
And then the last line of this email, and I don't want you to get a big head, Joe, but she says, lastly, my favorite line from the Hairspray podcast was, quote, I was like, damn, wow, referring to the Michelle Pfeiffer scene. Keep up the good work, Jenny.
Thank you so much, Jenny. You totally made my day, and I was so annoyed that Joey was hiding a secret from me for this long, but it was worth it. It definitely was worth it.
So I got this email. I work from home, but one day a week I'm at a client's office, and I got this email the day that I was at the client's office, and I read it, and I just start smiling and laughing and just so happy. Don't explain anything to anyone. I'm just like, this is the best. So thank you so much, Jenny. If you want to send in hate mail, dick pics, whatever.
Jenny, send more mail, please. Come on, we'll read it. You know
Zack
we will now.
ZackAttack@cageclub.me.
Dick pics. Send Joey dick pics. He'll describe them to me.
Okay, so we're going to try to play the Google autocomplete game.
Okay.
We normally do, like, Zac Efron movie name and see what happens. I'm just going to do movie name. So Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure. Oh, boy, hold on.
What?
Oh, God.
What?
There's... Oh, boy.
There's a lot of them?
No, there is... fan fiction of Sharpay.
Wait. Oh, God.
Yeah, fan fiction of Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2.
What?
I don't know. Hold on.
How long is it?
There's a YouTube clip that's 30 seconds, so I'm going to put this in the Discord chat.
Okay, let's talk about this. Yeah. We took a little turn. That's fine by me. I want to watch it. You down to watch it, Liam? You good?
Yeah, that's
all right, so let's get that loaded up.
I'm going to click it so I open it, and then we'll pause it for a second. Holy fuck, you found fan fiction of Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure.
Yes, that's 2,300.
This is everything
views.
I ever wanted. This is,
I know.
Holy shit.
In the description on YouTube, no copyright infringement intended, entertainment purposes only. I do not make any profits from it either, making this video legal to post under Section 107 of the Copyright Act 1976.
Wow. Okay.
I mean, I think the most impressive thing is the amount of views it's got.
2,300 is a lot.
So if you guys click through to the YouTube site and not just expand the video in Discord, there's a link to fanfiction.net.
Okay.
Oh my God.
Yeah, there's a lot of it.
There's 15 chapters.
Wow.
Did you see who it's written by?
Here's the summary. Yeah, Zephron Lover 19. So this is clearly from Liam. So here's the summary.
Whoever Zephron Lover 19 is should be listening to us. If you're listening, send in hate mail. ZackAttack.
I can probably contact Zephron Lover 19.
We'll do that.
It's this girl who posted the YouTube video.
Okay, cool.
So Zephron Lover 19 has written 7 stories for the Suite Life series, High School Musical, and Glee. She's in the UK.
Cool.
Liam, you have a job to do.
You have to go find this
woman. Is it going to get me arrested?
It might. Her name is Rach.
Rachel.
R-A-C-H-E.
Oh, no, Rach. Yeah, Rach.
Age 24. And here's her info. I'm saving the best for last about the summary of this.
I'm looking at her YouTube, like, thumbnail picture. She's kind of cute. She's not too bad, so.
Those of you that watch Zashley videos on YouTube may recognize me. The projects that I've done on YouTube that you may have heard of. Huge Zashley fan. Don't know what Zashley is.
So that would be
Zac Efron,
Ashley
Tisdale.
Oh, okay, because that's what Fabulous Adventure 2 is about. We'll get there. I ship Seb Tana. Even though they're gay in the show, they're both straight in real life.
I don't know what that means.
Sebtana.
She's like talking another language.
Sebtana.
I have no idea what that means.
Sebtana.
Sebastian something. I don't know.
Tana. I love Zac Efron so much, but Ashley Tisdale is my idol and always has been. I'm a massive superhero fan. My favorite heroes are Batman, Spider-Man, The Flash, Green Arrow, and Superman. I love both the Marvel superheroes and the DC Comics superheroes, but if I had to choose who was my favorite, it would have to be DC Comics and the Justice League. You may also find me on either my Twitter account, @ZephronLover19, going there right now, or my Tumblr accounts, or my YouTube account, youtube.com/ZephronLover19.
Okay, can we watch this video?
She has not... Well, hold on, before we get there. Okay. She hasn't tweeted since March, but I'm still going to reach out to her. The synopsis... for Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2. A year after she moved to New York, she thought that everything was perfect for her. She was performing on Broadway day after day, and many people want to know her. She's moved from her apartment to a big loft in the city with the money she's earning. However, her love life is on the rocks, and she'll fall into the arms of an unexpected... Troy.
Oh, I like it already.
Fan fiction that she wrote.
It's long.
Rated fiction.
I see it.
M. I don't know what that is. Mature.
I'm hoping there's some sexy scenes in here.
15 chapters, 27,000 words. It's been reviewed 22 times, has 26 favorites, followed by 21 people, published July 2012.
I'm skipping straight to chapter 12, A Night Never Going to Forget.
Oh, God. 13 is called Exhilarating Pleasurable Chapter 13.
Damn.
We are 100%. What we might have to do, Joe, is do another bonus episode next month where we just talk about this fan fiction.
Yes, I'm down. I'm absolutely down. I will read it. We can't read it now, but we will read it, and we will report back to everyone, and we will link to it, I promise. Jenny, you'll get the fan fiction too, I promise.
If we can get Reach on the podcast... it would be the best. We know it's not impossible now.
Sorry, Liam. We love you, and I want you to come back. But this just discovery of other Zeph fans is blowing my mind right now.
Yeah, I mean, there must be dozens of us.
Yeah. I was describing this that you were going to come onto the podcast to some of my friends here, and I was like, how many straight Zeph fans can there be? And Matt was like, tens of you guys.
So you guys ready to watch these 29-second YouTube videos? So this
I'm
is a
ready.
Video that she created as like a teaser or an opening for the thing she wrote.
Okay. Tell me when to go.
3, 2, 1, play.
So much
a
music
Zephron
already.
Lover 19 production. Statue
okay.
of Liberty. Call back to the first movie. Oh, this might be footage from New Year's Eve. Could it be?
Maybe. I don't know where she got this.
Because, I guess there's not going to be actual footage. Maybe it's just, like, credits.
No, this is from the movie, from Sharpay's.
Here's the thing. It's, in the world, so this is what's crazy. In the world, in our world, in 2011, this movie came out and New Year's Eve came out, right?
Okay.
And both of those have these characters in New York City. So it's not crazy to think that Zeph as Troy was Zeph in New Year's Eve.
Yeah,
as true. A bicycle messenger, and now he just swings by... for Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2, which I cannot wait to read.
Yeah, Sam, I'm excited. Damn, that's really exciting.
Okay. So that was the big surprise of the Google
autocomplete
game.
It was
awesome. Anything else? So Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure, what else do you think
Dog.
Autocompletes would be? Dog is next to last, yes.
Okay. Liam, you have any guesses? We're just trying to think the next word autocompletes it.
There's only one other one that's actually interesting.
Cameo?
Close. Okay. More specific than that, though.
Ryan?
Yep. Other than that, it's full movie, songs, trailer, movie, etc. But then there's Dog and Ryan. I'm just so glad that we played this because...
we found the fanfiction.
Fabulous Adventure 2.
Fuck.
Oh my God. All right, now it's time to watch the Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure trailer.
Link me up, bro.
You can watch... no, that's probably not right. Wait, there might not be a trailer. Oh, no, there is. Hold on, sorry.
Okay.
You sort of have to scroll down a little bit. It's like the fourth or fifth one. It's from Disney Movies Anywhere. So this is the official trailer. So like I said, this is a movie that was straight to DVD and then went to Disney Channel, which is sort of strange.
Yeah, that's a weird way to do this, but okay.
But this music video is called, or this trailer was called Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure Official Trailer. That's 2.5 million views. It's 1:43. Are you guys ready?
Yeah, I'm queued up and ready when you are. Liam, you good?
All right.
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, play.
Okay.
We have the actual MPAA screen, which is surprising, I think.
Okay. We get her on the runway.
production value of this is shockingly high.
Yeah,
sort
wow.
Of, they put more money into this trailer than into the movie, I feel.
Oh, that bald guy? I thought that he was Bob from Bob's Burgers. It should have been Bob from Bob's Burgers.
Could have been.
Voice guy.
He sort of looks like a Middle Eastern John Benjamin.
Yeah. And Wicked. I can't believe her friends weren't hotter though, honestly.
Yeah, that's more, no, that makes sense though.
Yeah, I think that Sharpay's ever gonna hang out with people who are hotter than her?
Or at least as hot, like Mean Girls. What is that?
Oh, the Murphy bed. We didn't talk about the Murphy bed that she sleeps on. That
right.
Swallows her up.
Yeah. It's a tongue for a closet. That's what it yep. was. A star is about to be born. Okay, she's at the theater.
I don't think we've really emphasized just how the fact that, like, every time Hot Ryan is on screen, he has a camera and he's filming Sharpay. It's
that's his character.
Creepy.
Yeah. That's his character, man. Lots of dancing. This chick.
Boy is adorable.
Yeah, that's the cutest dog, dude. Plan A, live in a he looks so much like Ryan. Fake Ryan, hot Ryan, looks so much like Ryan. Oh, did she get shot in the Murphy bed in the movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that part. Everything in
your life so far. And then she calls for hot Ryan to get her out.
Oh, okay. The rest of my life is starting. Yeah, see, this song was
this
good.
Is the final song.
Yeah,
yep.
The finale was pretty decent.
But wouldn't this trailer make you think this is a musical?
The director of The Santa Claus 2... as a selling point.
Yeah, that's bad.
Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure. Blu-ray and DVD, Spring 2011.
Damn.
6 years ago. That was actually a way better trailer than I was expecting it to be.
Dude, they do really well. They pitch it well, man.
But that trailer does set it up as if it's a musical.
Yeah, it does. No, it was totally a musical in the trailer. I agree.
Crying and Shirtless. Okay, so the next thing, and Liam, you get to play this.
Oh, yeah.
The next thing that we're going to watch is the TV series Summerland, which is 2 seasons. I still don't know how we're going to do this, but we're going to do it. We're going to try to do it. We're going to watch a lot of Summerland over the next month.
Yeah, I'm down.
And figure out a way to talk about it. I'm guessing he's going to be...
Wait, Lee, does Liam know the game? The game is we try to guess how Zac Efron's shirtless in the movie and how he cries in the movie. Because he cries and he's shirtless in a lot of the movies. So okay. you just have to make the best guess you can. More wild is better, obviously.
Yes. And I write it down and we revisit it next week. So all I know about Summerland is that it's about a family, I think. And he's introduced halfway through the first season playing the daughter's boyfriend.
Oh, okay. So we have a lot
so
to go
I think
on.
The obvious answer is that they break up and he cries shirtless. You know, they maybe have like a sex scene and he's shirtless or whatever.
I don't think they're having a sex scene on this.
This is also from 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
So it's before. Yeah. So maybe not.
Good. Your guess.
Liam, do you want to go first or do you want to go last?
I'll go last because I'm kind of curious what you guys have in mind for this. And I'm trying to like picture what age Zephron would be.
He's going to be like
he would have been like 15, 16, I think.
Okay.
I'm going to say, I have no idea where this takes place. I'm guessing it's L.A. I'm guessing we're going to have a lot of surfing scenes, any shirtless and surfing scenes. We're really entering the era where, like, it's borderline creepy to be shirtless, but we still got to play the game. We got to ride the game out.
Okay. Crying? What do you think? How do you think he's going to cry?
He's going to cry. The obvious one, like I said, is that he's going to break up with the daughter. I'm thinking there's going to be some scene where he's cutting onions.
And a scene where he's cutting onions? That's a good
move. Yeah, he's crying because of that.
If he's surfing, wouldn't it be jellyfish? Have it at the same time.
Oh, wow.
Well, there's jellyfish. I mean, that'd be a callback to the Paperboy where Nicole Kidman
pees on him. And she actually peed on him. That's
how
right.
good is that?
So Summerland. So Joey says, shirtless surfing, crying while chopping onions. Joe, too, what do you want? What are your guesses?
I'm going, we're going to get a scene where he has to take a shower at the girl's house, and he, like, peeks from behind the shower curtain, and we get, like, a half a shirtless, like, a shoulder-type situation. That's going to be the shirtless. Crying is they're going to have, like, a really emotional episode where he talks about how his mom is a recovering crackhead and how she had to, like, almost put him up for, like, foster care. Or maybe he is a foster child, and his mom was a crackhead, and that's why he's crying. Because he, like, tells the family of the girl and the girl at the same time that this is his life, and he confides in them, and he cries.
All right, Liam, how will he be shirtless in Summerland?
Right, so I'm picturing this taking place in, like, the same sort of location as, like, the Derby Stallion.
So, okay.
So anywhere USA.
Pretty much, yeah. It's going to be, like, you know, obviously hot. I'm picturing him chopping wood for some reason.
Okay. I like that.
Maybe like either a shirt that's open or it's like tied around his waist.
Oh,
okay.
Ooh,
I like that.
I like that. I like that a lot. Yeah.
So that's the shirt. Crying. I think they might kind of suggest that he has to move out of Summerland to like Winterland or something.
Oh.
And
he has
obviously
to move to Winterland.
He doesn't want to move because he's probably boning some girl or something. And
yeah,
long distance never works.
That's right, man. Fuck.
That's good. That's real good. I mean, I'm still hoping for cutting an onion, but, you know, if he moves from Summerland to Winterland, I'm going to be totally
I will lose my shit if that's right. I'll be so excited.
Letterboxd game, where we go on letterboxd.com. Once again, Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure, not in anyone's top four.
Obviously.
What a surprise.
Liam and I both gave it 2 stars. There's a lot of terrible reviews of this.
Okay.
Recently, David Robbs gave it 4 stars and said, "I love Romeo and Juliet, but with dogs." Which is, you know,
fair.
Fair. So the only game that we can play, and Liam, you can guess if you didn't look, is, Joe, how many people do you think watched this movie? Once again, for reference sake, Mad Max Fury Road, viewed by 135,000 people. Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure has been logged by how many people, Joe?
Now that you brought up the parents thing, I'm going to go a little bit higher than I was originally going to go, because I think maybe some parents saw this. I'm going to go 373.
Liam, do you want to guess or did you look?
I didn't look.
It's a very hard game to win. Twice now, we've played, this is the third time we're playing this. Twice now, Joe has been shockingly close.
Yeah, I mean, the Derby Stadium one was incredibly close.
I don't know how he did that, yeah.
Well, you're not making me reassured about my guess right now, fucker. Okay, go ahead.
I'm trying to keep it vague so that Liam has no
a shot.
One
okay,
way or the
fair,
other.
Fair.
I'm going to guess at, this is probably way off, 700.
In The Price is Right, if everybody's over, they get to go again. Here, you guys are both radically under. I'm going to let you have one
okay,
more
okay,
guess.
Yeah, then I was going 2315. That's what I was going to go the original time, and I toned it down some because I was like Sharpay's Big Adventure.
You just chopped the two off. Okay. 2315. Liam?
I'm just going to add 1,000, so 1,700.
Okay. Both times Liam was close, the actual right number is 1238.
Wow. That's more than I expected. I honestly did. Cool. Good for them, man.
Most people who have rated it gave it between 1.5 and 3 stars. An overwhelming majority do not like this movie.
I mean, I see why.
The final game that we're going to play is Fire Ass Titles.
Yes.
So we're going to take turns. Liam, this is where we try to rename the movie in the structure of High School Musical to be the most generic, vague, boring title that it can possibly be.
Got ya. Okay.
So, Joe, are you going to save yours that you wrote down for last, or are you going to drop it first?
I'm going to save it. I'm going to cut it in the middle somewhere.
I'll start. I'm going to say New York Bound.
The Murphy Bed.
Actually, New York Bound works for both this and for the porn sequel, where it's a fetish thing.
Yes, very true.
So you said The Murphy Bed?
The Murphy Bed.
Very good. Liam?
I'm going to go with New York New Sharpay.
Oh.
I like that.
I like it.
How about a take on the movie Must Love Dogs, but it's Dogs Love Dogs?
I was going to go Dog Day Afternoon.
All right, all right.
Which is like, I like throwing in some that are already movie titles, just repurposed.
Yep. Two Dogs, One Stage.
Oh.
Two Girls, One Cup, Two Dogs, One Stage. It's also a good name of the, you know, sexual sequel to this.
I wonder if, so here's a little bit of a curveball. I'm going to name, well, I don't know. I want to say The Homework Assignment. And I wonder if that's like for the movie or like for the movie that Hot Ryan makes.
Huh. Oh. Oh,
the
I like that.
The Homework Assignment.
The Film Student. Sequins.
Where is Ryan?
Where is Ryan? Oh.
Hot Pink Whirlwind of Ambition.
Doggy Style. No, that was my big one. Come on. Oh,
I
fuck.
Can't.
That was your big one?
Style.
Yeah, fuck. Doggy Style was amazing. It could be both the sexual sequel and this one.
I think that's what you get for just jamming it in the middle of the game.
Fuck.
I didn't know which one to laugh at. Yeah.
Damn. Okay. No. Cut in a laugh track.
I like Doggy Style. That's a good one. I was trying to get there with Doggy, and I just couldn't quite. Doggy Style works well.
Yeah. It's just simple, to the point. Doggy Style.
All
yeah.
Bark, no bite.
That was a joke in the movie, I think, right?
Is it really? Oh, yeah, that is. It definitely is. I think that's why it was in my brain.
High School Musical 4.
High School Musical minus the good parts.
After High School Musical.
New York Musical.
There you go. That's it. That's the end.
Okay, cool.
So that's what I was about to say, too. So that's
Okay, cool.
A good way to wrap up. So, any other last thoughts about Sharpay's fabulous adventure that we did not cover yet?
No, not for me. I'm just so thankful Liam came on. I'm very glad we found the Sharpay fan fiction. I am so thankful that Jenny wrote in, and I hope she writes in again. Jess, I didn't forget about you either. Rachel, I'm sure, is listening begrudgingly.
Melissa will hear eventually, yep.
This is one of my favorite episodes ever. I think just like everything that just came together just made this so much fun for me. This was a great one.
I just want to thank you both for having me on because of my love of Zac Efron to discuss a movie that does not have Zac Efron.
Well, that's like the same thing. Like when we first found out about this movie, even before we knew your love for him, we were like, oh, we have to do this. Like, he's not in it, but like, we have to do this. And then so to extend that to you, it makes me so happy that, like, not only are you here, but, like, that you were willing, like, yeah, fuck it. Like, I'll absolutely watch Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure and come and talk about it for 90 minutes.
I hadn't even heard of Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure. I'm blissfully ignorant to its entire existence. And then you guys come along, and within a week, I had the DVD in my collection. It's now rated and reviewed on Letterboxd. I mean, I'm living a much richer life.
I feel like we heard about this. The more I think about it, I feel like we heard about this in one IMDb trivia bit, and then I just completely lost it from my brain. To the point where, when I saw this Blu-ray, I was like, oh, this is a new thing that I don't know about yet. I feel like at one point we knew that, like, Ashley Tisdale starred in a spinoff movie or something.
Yeah.
I just completely forgot it, so I'm so glad that now I own this clutch purse. So you own the movie, but you don't have the clutch purse.
No, I unfortunately couldn't get that delivered in time, because the DVD was on Amazon Prime, so that next day, perfect. But clutch purse would have been, you know, like late July by the time it would have got here.
Oh, fuck.
And I'm not buying this movie twice.
Well played. I don't blame you.
Do you want to talk about your podcast briefly?
I'm really bad at doing that sort of stuff because I make the other guy do it.
It's awesome. No, it's awesome. I liked
it. Here's a quick synopsis. If you like what we do but want the British version of it about more than just Zac Efron movies...
And everybody knows the British version's always better. The Office.
Yes. The British version always comes first and then we bastardize
House of Cards. House of Cards is better. Okay, go ahead.
Listen to Nerd on Nerd. Nerd on Nerd podcast. You can find us on Twitter, and we don't actually have a website, so I think we're on SoundCloud or YouTube.
What's the Twitter handle?
At Nerd on Nerd.
Okay.
So yeah, perfect. Come find us.
The High School Musical episode they did was fun because Liam obviously loves Zac Efron, but the guy he does the podcast with does not. Forced him to watch all three. Unlike what we did, where it was like three over sort of 3 weeks.
I don't know if
three
I
in a night.
I don't know if
and
I
did
three in one night.
Drinking games.
Oh. Yeah, no, that the drinking games were not smart.
I hope you come back or send us a little...
Yes.
I want a little clip of, like, something for the Zeffies. Hopefully we can get you, like, soundbite or something.
What I would like is I would like you, independent of us, to read Sharpay's Fabulous Adventure 2. Or, you know, just a chapter or two. And then, like, write us a hate mail, write us a fan mail, zackattackatcageclub.me. Let us know what you think of what you read.
Yeah, I would definitely do that.
Thank you, brother.
So for all things Zac Attack, you can go to cageclub.me or facebook.com/cageclub or @cageclubpod on Twitter. You can hear all the episodes that we've done. You can find all of our other shows, including Wistful Thinking, which I mentioned. All sorts of fun, free things for you to listen to and read at those three places. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe too.
And that was Liam Underwood from the Nerd on Nerd podcast. And we'll see you next time on Zac Attack. There's a